Hey everybody, welcome back to another edition of the Gamma Ray podcast. We took a little bit of a week off there, but we're back now and we're doing Son of Sam. We're going to go into a major player, man, and just get right back on track.
Yeah, this is one of the big boys on the block.
Yeah, this dude like wholeheartedly was insane. Dude, like hands down.
Well, there's like, yeah, I think he was.
Yeah.
That's not, kind of like church it up. I mean, he absolutely was. You know what I mean? But at the same time, like, I think he wasn't. You know, which we'll get into like this a little bit this next episode more, and then like in a little bit of the future episodes of it. But
Yeah.
it's like I'm on the fence with it. You know what I mean? Because there's a lot more going on to this guy than like the normal run of the mill story. You know, of like your typical like Bundy kind of serial killer. You know what I mean? Where
Yeah.
it was very linear kind of story. Berkowitz is a little
Yeah, like
bit
he doesn't have
different.
that like impetus. He
What?
couldn't get hard kind of
Right.
problem that a lot of them have
Well,
without massive
violence.
bloodshed. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Like brutality.
The
Well, I
impotent,
think,
like impotency of the English language
yeah, pretty
right now.
much.
Well, see, that's the thing with Berkowitz too, dude. Like, I think I saw it was on. I mean, you can take it for a grain of salt, but even on Mindhunters, you know that show Mindhunters?
Yeah.
Like when
Never
they
heard of it.
interviewed him, he said,
They hunt minds.
like
Ah.
he told him a quote where he said, "I consider myself a sex-starved daydreamer."
Oh,
Don't
so am
we
I.
all?
Yeah, I'm doing it currently.
I mean, ain't that every guy?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm married, dude. I
Like
mean,
fucking, he's
yeah.
like, all
Two
right, dude.
kids.
So you describe every male that's ever lived.
He's in purgatory, like an eternal purgatory over there.
Yeah.
It's his only release. It's only his only way out. It's through his imagination. All right. So, like, what the way I wanted to kind of start this one off a little bit is different than we normally do because I just kind of want to like set the tone a little bit of like what this guy was kind of doing. You know what I mean? So
Yeah.
this is actually one of the letters that he wrote. I believe this one was to the police
Yeah, this was one
directly,
of this was
NYPD guys.
I believe this was his first one
His first one,
he
yeah.
ever wrote to him.
Because he wrote this, I know he did write this some like newspaper article writers, pissed off because they weren't, I don't know,
I think yeah,
saying
they
nice
this
things
one
about him. I
he
don't
left
being
to
that he's a
yeah,
fucking
when
serial
this one he
killer
left to
and
the police and then he started sending them to the
you're just
newspaper.
being mean.
You're putting this serial killer thing in a bad light.
Yeah.
Like,
All right, so here we go. All right. So he goes, "I am deeply hurt by you calling me a woman hater. I am not, but I am a monster. I am the son of Sam. I am a little brat. When Father Sam get drunk, he gets mean. He beats his family. Sometimes he ties me up to the back of the house. Other times he locks me in the garage. Sam loves to drink blood." God damn. Like, that's
Hey,
all right.
but dude, now
Wow.
you have to imagine you're reading this at a crime scene.
Well,
Yeah.
you're
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
whoa,
like,
man. Like, holy shit.
yeah, I think it's gonna have a
This is
lot bigger
intense.
impact
Yeah, by
knowing that
now
you
it
got like
seems. You got
seven
somebody
fucking,
like dead.
yeah, you got like fucking
Yeah.
five bodies behind this letter.
Yeah. "Go out and kill," commands Father Sam. "Behind our house, some rest raped and slaughtered. Their blood drained, just bones now. Papa Sam keeps me locked in the attic too. I can't get out, but I look at the attic window and see the world go by. I feel like an outsider. I am at a different wavelength than everybody else programmed to kill." Which I think, like, if you when it comes to like mental health thing, and I know I don't even know if this is like an actual theory, but I do think like people who are like insane in this kind of way are on a different wavelength than other people.
Yeah,
And
he's not even in
your brain
reality
does
anymore.
pick up wavelengths. That's a fact.
Yeah.
It does. And something was off
Just
with this
yeah,
dude's
his are getting
antenna or something.
crossed.
Yeah. I don't know, man. It just seems like so fucking insane.
I mean, technically, if you break it down to the fight or flight theory,
Yeah.
everybody's programmed or at least capable
Yeah.
of killing
I mean,
just because
yeah.
of our evolutionary ladder.
Yeah. I mean, kind of, it's survival of the fittest kind of thing, I
Yeah,
think.
for sure.
I mean, it doesn't. I don't think that comes in the context of murder,
Well, I
but
mean,
and like defend, like self-defense or in war. I think I agree with you on that.
yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. I'm just saying, I think we're all kind of somewhat
Yeah.
programmed to kill.
Yeah.
I mean, humans are just
But we
violent.
kill for pleasure. or, you know, or lust or whatever, then yeah, you're fucking totally in another fucking dimension as far as wavelengths, man.
Yeah. However, to stop me, you must kill me. Attention all police, shoot me first. Shoot to kill or else. Keep out of my way or you will die. Papa Sam is old now. He needs some blood to preserve his youth. He has too many heart attacks. Too many heart attacks.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, his son's out fucking killing people and he's drinking blood.
Well, yeah.
And he's basically saying,
okay,
you know, I'm going out with it. Basically, it sounds like I'm going out in a blaze of glory.
Well, what it is,
at least that's what it sounded like.
Really, like when you read this letter, it's more about like, it's not him doing it. It's not, he's not doing it because he's choosing to.
He has no choice.
Sam is forcing him to.
Yeah, he has no choice but to obey him.
It's almost like, this isn't my fault. If it wasn't for Sam, I'd be a good little boy. That kind
of.
Yeah, it's Sam's fault. It's a good defense, like planning out, because you know you're going to get caught eventually. Yeah, so a smart person would do something like this, you know?
Yeah, kind of set the foundation.
Right. Ugh, me hoot, it hurts, Sonny boy. There was a ton of grammatical errors in this letter, by the way, and I'm reading it verbatim. Verbatim? What is it called? Is it verbatim?
Verbatim.
All right. I miss my pretty princess most of all. She's resting in our lady's house. But I'll see her soon, whatever the fuck that means. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, he was like fully crazy.
Yeah,
when he started writing.
That doesn't even make any sense with like the context of what he just was talking about.
No,
it just shows you like how incoherent.
It's like so chaotic.
Yeah,
it's a stream of consciousness he's writing down at the time. This isn't a pre-planned.
It seems to me like he almost read it at different times. Like he like wrote some shit, like thought of some shit, and then like took a break, and then he like came back and then wrote some.
I don't know, man. Because like imagine writing,
and, you know, and then came back.
Like imagine if he proofread this. I don't think that he did.
I think clearly
because this was several pages.
Yeah.
Of like a note. This wasn't like on, you know.
Well, he also wrote written in like 28 font. I mean, it was super huge.
Might as well,
you know,
wrote it down with a fucking crayon or something.
I am the monster, Beelzebub, the chubby behemoth. I love to hunt. I like the little self-deprecation in there.
Yeah,
the chubby behemoth.
I love to hunt, prowling the streets looking for fair game. Tasty meat, the women of Queens are the prettiest of all. I must be the water they drink. I live for the hunt, my life. Blood for Papa. Mr. Borelli, sir. He is one of the detectives that were like the head guys.
Yeah.
On the case. I don't want to kill anymore. No, sir, but but I must. Honor thy father. I want to make love to the world. I love people. I don't belong on earth.
Dude, that sentence alone.
Wow.
See, that's what I'm talking about. Like, when he was writing this, it was more of like a stream of consciousness he was going through.
Yeah.
I don't think he stopped at all.
I think it just like a sentence. I think he just wrote down.
He
popped in his head.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, they're like, I love people. I want to make love to the world, but I don't belong on earth. Like,
yeah.
What?
Also,
like, I don't want to.
If you don't shoot me, I'm going to.
But
keep
I must.
Killing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't want to do it.
Yeah. But I must.
But if you see me, kill me.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna stop.
But I do love the world and I do love people. It's but like, I'm just fucking smoking them on a regular basis.
But that's like, I think that goes to what, like, with the time though, because it was like the hippie movement was probably still around, or I mean, it wasn't.
I think that was the time it was dying down.
Yeah, yeah, it wasn't like over. You know what I mean? Like it just happened not that long beforehand.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it was completely gone, but it was also the time. It was like the hippie culture was dying off,
right?
Just as like the big cocaine snorting, partying, disco culture, kind of started picking up. You know
the
what
best
I mean?
So of cultures.
Maybe he was, maybe he was kind of stuck in between
half button, you know, shirts, I mean? And like, gold ass chains, bro.
Yeah. Fucking high platform.
Teen Wolf, look him up. You know,
seven-inch
chest hair.
Platform shoes with like the goldfish inside.
Yeah.
I don't belong on Earth. Return me to Yahoos, to the people of Queens. I love you. I want to wish you all a happy Easter. May God bless you in this life and in the next. And for now, I say goodbye and good night. Police, let me haunt you with these words. I'll be back. I'll be back. To be interpreted as bang, 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 bank. Bang, Yours in murder, Mr. Monster.
Dude, did it really say bang, 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 bank?
Yeah,
bang.
He misspelled it.
Because,
or he just put the literally wrote the word bank.
All right, yeah, because
he had to go to the bank.
Because when I was going to the bank,
yeah, as he was writing his dad, I'd be like, oh shit, I haven't cashed that check yet. I gotta go to the bank.
I gotta
go
to Chase.
Because I changed it to bang in my notes. I was like, maybe he just spelt it wrong.
No.
No, he did.
Like, spell it wrong.
Proofreading. I was like, oh shit.
No, he spelled it wrong. Like I said, it was riddled with grammatical and sparing errors and complete unfollowable logic. Like the whole fucking thing.
Well, no, because you could see him going from like raving murderer to like
regular
desperate
dude.
Little boy to like full grown, like hippie kind of man.
Yep.
Then back into like murderous intent.
Yeah, then back to the psycho.
Yeah.
So, it's kind of like these consciousnesses that he's like kind of floating in and out of.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, dude, he's 100% coming in and out of reality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, the fact that he calls himself the chubby behemoth is kind of hilarious.
Well, man, I mean, you got to look inside, man. You know,
I was just thinking that was going to be a good, you know, Xbox Live name.
Yeah, I was just going to say that.
A fucking $100 says that somebody's already got that.
Oh,
they got that.
I might try it later. See,
you kind of are a chubby beam. You're big and you're chubby. You kind of fit.
Hold on, I got to go start writing my letter.
Well, that's what I was about to say, man. Wasn't that like a little redundant, though? I'm a chubby behemoth.
Yeah.
Well, behemoth is one of the kings of hell.
Yeah, true. But it can also mean huge and large.
Yeah.
Or you have like a tiny man who's the lead singer of your band. But
of your black metal
band. The opposite of the word of the band.
But Berkowitz was not like, he wasn't skinny either. He was a chubby little bastard.
Yeah, he was a chubby dude.
He was. He was portly.
Oh, yeah. Dude, interesting side. Did you know he actually had like fangirls when he was in jail?
They all do.
Yeah, I believe that 100%. Yeah, they got groupies, bro.
We all do.
Manson had them. Bundy had them.
Yeah, they
fucking Ramirez got married.
Yeah.
What was his name?
I don't know, man. The I clown. Gotta tell you, John Wayne Gacy.
John Wayne Gacy even had a couple.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he was a fucking homosexual.
Dude, I'm so desperate for any kind of affection right now. I'm thinking about becoming a serial killer just so I can get women to talk to me.
Imagine the confidence you'd have walking in.
Right through the roof.
Well, if you don't want to talk to me, that's fine. I'll just kill you later.
I mean, you'd be like Bundy. I mean, you might as well own a VW bug.
Yeah.
But
you know them new green go green girls like those new Priuses.
Mm-hmm. Well, then they're not gonna like me very much.
Oh yeah. Easy to know.
Even though we kind of were breaking into the actual note and talking, that was actually like pretty harrowing when you think about in context, like odds are the detective was reading this at the murder scene.
Well, he sent it to the station.
Did he? Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. They didn't find it in like a, you know, like a.
See, I thought he, yeah. See, that's not my bad then.
He sent it.
Found
to
it
them.
At the crime scene.
Yeah, he sent.
But
it.
Even
yeah,
still,
I mean, that and the fact that it relates to these, you know what I mean? Like, he's got to be like, dude, we already got a pile of fucking bodies.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy's sending this fucking like crazily chaotic letter. Let
it's
me know.
Not
he
unheard
ain't done
of.
Yet.
It's not unheard of for the folks like that to do that though.
No,
Zodiac did it. You know,
yeah, Zodiac did it.
What's his name? Raider. He did it.
Yeah,
a lot of
that's
them.
That's how he got caught.
Well, 30
a lot
years
of serial
later,
killers will send a
get caught a lot faster nowadays.
Well,
it wasn't
yeah,
like back then.
Yeah, he didn't realize. You know, he should have realized about the advances in the criminal science.
You gotta keep up with that. Yeah.
Yeah, you might have got away with that shit in the '70s, bro, but now.
Not in the 2000s. You're not gonna get.
Yeah, no, not when they could be like. Oh, this paper. This is definitely Staples paper.
Yeah,
yeah.
From this branch,
and it was
city.
Yeah, it was
So that this day,
from the smell of it,
he clearly got it on sale
6 months ago.
Yeah.
So at best, he bought it last week.
Oh, and we got him on 15 different cameras.
Yeah.
Of, you know, from when he bought it to when he got home.
Now, see, dude, you got to remember those.
It's like they get that letter. Like, I told you that guy looked like a chubby behemoth. It's crazy that he put that in his letter.
Yeah. I even mentioned that before I even read the
damn thing. Remember I said, who's that chubby behemoth right there? He looks suspicious.
But, you know, Burke, because you got to remember, that was actually written by a person.
It's not like a script or from a movie or anything like that.
No.
Yeah.
And, you know, Berkowitz, you know, he was known famously, or infamously, I should say, as the son of Sam.
Yeah,
but originally, he was known as the .44 caliber killer. Before he kind of made claim to the name.
He made them call him son of Sam.
Oh, yeah. In later notes.
Yeah, he definitely manipulated that part of the media.
Well, yeah.
He wanted his name.
Yeah, I think they literally said, I think he said, call me Son of Sam or something else. I think he did that.
Yeah, originally he was the .44 caliber killer.
Right.
And in future notes he sent to him, he called himself the Son of Sam.
It just doesn't have the same ring, you know?
No, yeah. I think, you know, Son of Sam sounds a lot more like.
Sounds more cultish.
Yeah.
Not even just more. Like evil. Visceral, I guess.
Yeah, it's like more like evil sounding or like more like mentally disturbing.
Because, yeah, dude, like, you know, if you're in New York, you have Uncle Sam, which is when I first heard of this dude. I thought he was trying to connect himself to that for some reason.
But the 44 caliber killer is, it's so lazy.
It is. Yeah, it is.
Because it's like the cops did, and they're like, well, he used a 44 caliber, I think. We'll just call him that. It's just like, what is that guy?
Well, see, because
the bang bang killer, because that's what a fucking gun makes. That's the sound it makes.
He used a lot of onomatopoeia when he was doing his killings.
Yeah.
Pew pew killer.
Yeah.
So stupid. But, you know, he was the man who, he terrorized New York in the late 70s.
Yeah.
By killing 6 people and wounding an additional 7.
Dude, that motherfucker had New York so petrified.
Yeah. Dude, he had women dyeing their hair because they thought
cutting it because it's so long.
And dyeing
women,
it.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. Because they thought that's what his MO was.
Because his shit was just so random, man.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody knew. Nobody thought they were safe. Nobody.
Right.
Because he was shooting guys and girls. Like, he didn't give a fuck.
Yeah. Well, he was definitely going after women. But
for sure,
he wouldn't shoot the dude either. So
yeah, just because you're a guy doesn't mean you got off lucky.
No, I think
that was witness.
I don't even think it was that, dude. I think a lot of it, and this is my personal opinion on it, is that it was like a crime of convenience. Because it's like 3 a.m. There's nobody.
Yeah,
you find a car with people in it and nobody around. You're like, okay, this is the people.
Yeah, look around, you know, real quick. No, okay.
I think that's just literally as far as that thinking went.
Yeah.
I don't think it went anywhere.
He went out with the intention to kill. He just had to find.
Yeah, he wasn't like stalking these people like a lot of killers do. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
he wasn't like following them or learning their routines or anything. I think it was just he was driving around till he saw somebody in a car that he fucking yui'd. You know what I mean? Pulled up behind, the lights off, boom, 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 gets the fuck out of Dodge.
I think that's as far as it went. Make sure nobody's around.
Mm-hmm.
Does his thing and just kind of walks off.
Yep. I think
and the thing is, by the time the gunshots get heard, and people start looking out their windows, he's already a fucking block away.
Well, plus, even if you see somebody running, this is New York in the
middle of the night in the 70s.
There's still going to be people on the streets.
Yeah, when like the New York City,
when gunshots start going off, everybody's running.
Yeah.
So you can't even pin down like exactly who it was,
right?
Because if there's anybody on the streets, they're running,
right?
But yeah, for obvious reasons, he received the moniker the .44 caliber killer because, well, unsurprisingly, he used a .44 caliber bulldog revolver to attack his victims during his spree.
Right.
Hey, have you ever seen that gun, dude? Like that thing's a beast, man.
Yeah. It's like fucking Dirty Harry's gun or something.
Yeah, I mean, that motherfucker, you know what I mean, with a bulldog.
That's a little short nose.
It's got a shorter barrel, but with a .44 caliber.
Powerful. Yeah.
Dude, he's decimating you.
It's surprising that
how many people
lived.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Especially
because these were point blank, too. Like, how many people
actually
lived?
A couple feet away at most.
Yeah. Like, he caught people in the head and all the time.
How far it is to hold a gun at a car window.
Yep.
And shoot the person sitting in it. However far that is.
Well, because what? Yeah, he just unloaded foot, too. Bop, 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 bop.
Well, I think that's probably a lot of why some of those folks survived.
Yeah, because he wasn't aiming.
Kind of like.
Yeah. Well, that thing's had a hell of a kick on it because there's the barrel isn't pulling the gun down at all.
Right.
So you're pulling your wrist is catching the full kickback on it.
I mean, that, you know, and the fact remains, like, you know, that's how you knew he was always going for the woman, because it was always the passenger side first.
Yeah.
You know, and that was back because
in the 70s, women weren't allowed to drive yet. So they've come a long way.
Yeah, they have. Years, 50 they
years. Have. Some would say for the better. Some would say
I would say for the worse.
Yeah.
But Berkowitz actually spurred one of the largest manhunts in history of, like, New York City.
Which is saying something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Considering this is a city, especially back in the 70s, where murder was common.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was dangerous. 70s? Yeah.
Yeah, it was.
It's fucking dangerous as hell now.
Yeah, but never, it was, like, even worse back in the 70s.
Dangerous.
Yeah, but see, they rolled in there in the 80s and cleaned that shit up. But now, with all their bullshit that they do now, it's just as bad again.
Yeah.
But yeah, back in Berkowitz day, dude, yeah, the city wasn't fucking, you know, the go-to tourist mecca that it is now.
Mm-hmm. You showed up.
It was
all,
definitely.
Everything downtown was nothing but drugs and hookers and.
Everything was grainy. It's awful.
Yeah.
Unsaturated. It was just, there was no such thing as bright colors.
No.
But, you know, even some of the worst people, you know, even, I shouldn't say some, everybody has, like, a beginning.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And he was originally, Berkowitz was originally born as Richard David Falco on June 1st, 1953, in Brooklyn, New York.
Is that an Italian name?
I believe it is.
Continue.
Thank you. Unfortunately for David, though, his parents were unmarried at the time. Now, it's not, that was still frowned upon back then, too.
Time. Yeah, it was.
And Right as, yeah, he was born, both of his parents split, and he was put up for adoption.
There's
this
part
is
one.
Always a great
there's part one of creating
step one to, yeah, step one to the recipe for a serial killer. Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying that all adopted people are serial killers. I'm just saying, look at the proof.
Seems to be a pattern.
I'm just saying they're not all serial killers.
I don't know if they are or not, and I don't want to find out.
But yeah, after he was adopted, his new parents quickly changed his whole name from David to David Berkowitz. Sorry,
right?
From Richard Falco, which I don't know, dude. Falco's still kind of a cool name.
Yeah, if you're a Smash Brothers character,
exactly. That's cool exactly how Falco punch, man, like knock your ass right out of the ring.
Or if you're like a Luck Dragon. That's a good one. Oh, that's Falcor. Never, I was close.
Yeah,
that was close though.
But early on in his life, as you know, most serial killers, he was showing signs of violent tendencies and like violent behavior patterns.
Yeah, I think it's hard to hide that stuff sometimes when you're.
Yeah, see, a lot of them will do like
completely
animal
insane.
Mutilations stuff.
Yeah,
like that.
I don't think he did really any of that. If he did, I don't remember reading about it.
No.
But
yeah, I've never heard nothing about him doing like that part of it.
I might just not be remembering it. But
yeah, even if he didn't, though, I mean, these. So right now we got him being put up
violent
for adoption.
Yep.
Already have violent tendencies on him.
Yep.
So there's two marks against him.
Right.
Yeah.
No, he wasn't like a violent child per se. A lot of this kind of was attributed when his adopted mother died in 1967, and he
was
pretty
really
close to her.
Yeah, they were close. Yeah,
yeah, I would think
that
so.
Devastated him too.
Yeah,
like that was not a good time for him at all.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when he started getting involved in crimes, you know, petty larceny, pyromania, stuff like that.
Right.
But it never. Now, this is like high school time.
Right.
And the weird part is it never affected his schooling or really ever got into any legal trouble. And I think he got caught a couple times.
They just, you know, slap on the wrist, kids being kids.
Yeah. Especially back then, man. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of that just kids being kids shit. You know what I mean? And for some, probably some, for some pretty serious shit that nowadays would put a kid in juvie. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like back then, it was like, you know, people don't have to fucking park down, but boys will be boys.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like,
but, you know, his trouble would continue, especially when his adoptive father got remarried in 71. And then...
Well, he waited moved. 4 years. I mean, I think that's the appropriate amount of time.
Yeah.
Well, the problem is that he moved to Florida without him, with his new wife.
So now he's got... abandonment issue.
Yep.
The compound already...
He has three checks against him already.
Well, you know, your parents, he moved to Florida like all good, I believe, Jewish men do.
Yeah.
Eventually moved to Florida.
And just the elderly from New York will move to Florida. Just,
and then they're going to call you.
That's once a week, my law, I believe.
And then say, I can't believe you live in that weather.
You know? Yeah.
And they got to tell you that it's November and it's 88.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're like, fantastic.
Yeah. Dude, my brother lives in Florida and that's all I ever hear when I do talk to him.
Mm-hmm.
Dude. It's fucking 91 down here.
Like
dude,
you, bitch.
I'm in South Carolina. It's fucking 84 here.
Yeah, yeah, it's not that different.
No.
It's like, it's not like you're up in New York, son.
It's all 30. Balls. It's all ball soup, brother.
Yeah.
I mean, no matter which place you are, it's hot as fuck.
I mean, dude, there's another strike against this cat. You know, he was already having abandonment issues.
Yeah.
You know, with his mom. All right, first he fucked up, first and foremost, because, you know, he's adopted.
Right, and we're not saying all adopted people are crazy.
No, but I'm saying.
Yeah, but I do believe that his adopted parents did tell him he was adopted, too.
Yeah, I mean, but the thing is that, like, I think some folks will use, like, he was adopted as, like, part of it. Sure, I mean, I think that does come into play for sure, you know what I mean? But I think that's, like, more later on that comes into a bigger picture, you know what I mean? I don't think it really bothered him as much when he was a kid because his adopted
parents
were good people.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say.
They were good people.
Even they raised him well. They treated, you know, they showed him love.
Yeah, I didn't see anything where it was like
the lady
excessive.
Dying probably hit him pretty fucking hard, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like
there was nothing when
that
I was,
showed me the love.
Yeah, right. It was no longer here. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause there was nothing when I was doing the research on it where I could find where he was abused.
I don't think
outside
he was.
Of like the basic 70s kind of discipline.
Yeah,
well,
you
yeah,
pick
I
a
mean,
switch.
Yeah, dude. You get your ass whooped for doing dumb shit.
Yeah.
But back then, all parents beat their kids.
What a time to be in.
They did. I'm bullshitting. You stepped in line.
You
have
any idea
slapped.
How nice it would be to tell my kids, go pick your own Switch?
You still can, kind of. You're. I
yeah,
think that's allowed.
Back then,
you
didn't have to worry about
you
it.
Live, like your city's charter. Pretty sure that's still allowed. That's on the
book. I can honestly say, I'm old enough that I could say I did go pick my own Switch.
Adrian Peterson did it to his kids.
Yeah, he did.
Are you kidding me? Which is fucking horrible.
That's old school. That's old school discipline there, son.
Jesus Christ. That's horrible, man. I mean, you can't just like beat the crazy out of these kids. It doesn't really like doesn't help.
No.
You know, it's not going to help anything.
Go figure.
It'd make you feel better.
50 about... years later, they figured out it only makes them worse.
Oh, you like being violent?
Yeah.
Here's some more violence.
Here's some more violence to curb that violence.
Let me beat the shit out of you.
I'm
going to
cancel out your violence with my violence.
Yeah. I'm going to beat you with the stick that I made you go get.
It's like, what the fuck?
What do you think about that one?
Kind of logic is working here.
Yeah, it's fucking nuts.
I don't understand.
So, you know, basically, man, what Berkowitz did, dude, I think is what a lot of people did back then.
Yeah.
If you know, it's kind of that way even to this day. You know, where you find yourself not really knowing what you want to do with your life or what your purpose is. So, you know, he did what a lot of them do. He joined the army.
Yeah.
And in 71, he served in South Korea and various other U.S. bases as well.
Well, I think South Korea, too, is where, like, and I know this has probably nothing, but I think that's where he lost his virginity was there, too, which I think was a big part of moving on what's happening here because he wasn't good with the ladies.
No.
You know what I mean? So I think he got like a little bit of a taste of it.
Are you telling me
an old soul
short,
you know,
pudgy
in a soul, he got the soul just
was,
took right out of him. I wanted to
bad with
chick,
the ladies.
That's what happened. Yeah.
Yeah. Say it ain't so, man.
God bless him. Pudgy Jewish guy had trouble with the ladies.
Yeah.
He wasn't even Jewish.
Yeah.
He was Italian.
He just got,
No, I think he...
He went from Italian to Jewish. That's what happened.
I'm fairly confident he was Jewish, actually.
Well, okay. Yeah, I think his religion was Jewish.
Yeah. Judaism. Oh, Jews aren't a race, bro.
Like, yes, they are.
No, they are not.
They're not?
It's a religion. Religion.
Oh, man.
Whoops. Anybody can be Jewish, man.
Whoops.
What you gotta do is convert. My bad. See, you learn something new every day.
What? I don't know, man. I'm gonna kind of double down on it a little bit. Because like for real, like if you see a Jewish person, you're like, oh, that guy looks Jewish. And 9 times out of 10 you'd be right. I think that's fair to say.
If they were Hasidic, yes.
I have no empirical evidence for this at all. And it's a very loose theory that clearly is not going well.
I guess
because I'm still rambling. It's clearly not going well because I'm trying to find something.
Right now what I'm trying to do, everybody,
segue off of this and make me not look like a racist.
Yeah. I'm trying to dig my way out of this hole.
Let me help you there. Because of the army, Berkowitz was also known as an excellent marksman, which obviously may come into play later in his life.
Do you think think I just ruined the show there, like forever? If we ever get syndicated, this episode's not fucking making it.
Yeah,
it's not making it.
I think we'll be all right.
Because you know who runs the big corporations for this kind of stuff? The Irish.
Yeah.
The Irish.
Goddamn Irish.
Just trying to cover my tracks, baby.
Yeah. You know how they are. It's actually the Palladians and the Reptilians. Well, fuck them. And fuck the lizard people there.
Yeah.
Dude. Believe it or not, he was honorably discharged.
Yeah.
When his tour was over.
Yeah, he did his time like a man.
During this time, though, he wasn't
crazy.
Like, yeah, he wasn't losing grip on reality.
Right.
Well, yeah,
he's still fairly sane.
Well, yeah, he's over there playing with guns. He's getting South Korean hookers. You know, fucking drinking.
Yeah, it was just the one. Boys.
He's having the time of his life, man.
Yeah.
Beers, bras, and guns.
Yeah.
What can you do? Now, are we just going to get canceled for me saying broads?
Probably.
Or did I just show my age on that?
You were talking about generalization.
Well, this was a good
run.
Yeah. Okay, it was a good, like, 33 episode run.
It was good. We might as well go ahead and just tank this whole thing in one episode.
No. We were not talking about women. We were just talking about, he met broad generalization.
Broad things. Amount of people.
Yeah.
That happened to be female. In
Broadway.
Did sex.
Shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up. We were out. You pulled us right back in. All right, please move on.
He got back to the States,
yes,
Berkowitz went on a journey looking for his birth mother. And
I get that, though. I can see a lot of folks doing that are adopted. They want to know, you know.
Well, he found her, Betty Falco. And Falco, she informed Berkowitz that his birth father had died recently and that he was a result of an illegitimate birth.
Because they weren't married.
Which he did not take well at all.
Yeah,
back in that time, even the 70s, that was still
that was
kind
a
of
stigma.
A big deal, man. Yeah,
oh, yeah, hell yeah, that was a big deal.
And he was born in the 50s, so it was even Leave It to Beaver kind of shit. You know what I mean?
He did not take kindly to his dad or his real dad being dead either.
Right, because he couldn't meet him, couldn't talk to him.
Well, yeah, and plus, I mean. You know, he was already kind of pissed off because his real mother didn't want him.
I think like more
around this time is when he starts falling apart slowly. Yeah.
To fall apart. But finding that out, man, you know, about his dad and all that, you know, I mean, obviously he was upset, you know, as it would most people. But then he ended up losing contact with his birth mother. And if I'm not mistaken, dude, I think she really told him she really didn't want fucking nothing to do with him.
Mm.
I don't remember what she said.
I think she had a daughter.
Oh.
Berkowitz was mad. Like, this was one of the reasons why he was mad at her. Is because, like, why would she keep her like he had an older sister or half sister or whatever.
Right.
And why would she keep her and not me? Why did she love her?
Well, I mean, even that I can see.
Yeah.
I can see the anger.
There's some jealousy there. Yeah. And some why wasn't I good enough kind of self-loathing in there.
Yeah. Which just, you know, piled on to all the other stuff he was already going through and that he's been through. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I mean, he was already feeling worthless at that point.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. He definitely was.
Yeah, you know, and now you got the woman who gave you life basically telling you, I don't want nothing to do with you. Around 75, Berkowitz worked a large number of blue-collar jobs, you know, such as like security guard, them types of jobs.
Never felt safer.
Yeah, I know. I know, too, right? You got the Son of Sam as a security guard. Like,
yeah,
not that, you know, not that
like a new, like a completely just insane, like Paul Blart.
Like, now you gotta remember he's only just now starting to unravel.
Yeah.
It's
well,
there.
Yeah, I mean, you're right, because around 75, this is when Berkowitz mental health kind of started to, I guess, rapidly deteriorate.
Yeah.
And, you know, basically later on, he was diagnosed, you know, not surprisingly, as a paranoid schizophrenic.
I think that was like a common, like, catch-all back then, though, before, like, the expanse of mental health issues, you know what I mean, where, like, they have, like, you know, scientific evidence now of, like, you know, chemical compounds in your brain when you do have, like, certain afflictions, mental health afflictions, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where, like, it's now, it's like, no, we know these are different things happening, so we label them something different to coincide with behavior patterns, you know?
Yeah.
But back then, they're like, he's fucking nuts.
Yeah, he's paranoid schizophrenic,
you know what I mean? Like, I just think about, like, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest or something, where, like, everybody in there was a paranoid schizophrenic because they didn't know what else to call it.
Yeah, I actually went to Family Guy when they went to the insane asylum. And they're like, this man's paraplegic. He's insane.
Cleveland
comes up. He says, a black man talking back to a white man. This man is clearly insane. Throws him in there.
Mm-hmm. I don't remember that one.
You got Quagmire.
Dude. Yeah, like, Quagmire's like, you have any... Any like comatose women you pay money to have sex with? Oh yeah, of course. Come on in.
Yeah, he ain't the crazy one though.
Oh, that's like that thing from Kill Bill in the beginning.
Oh yeah. In the very beginning of it.
Pussy wagon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess it was crazy. But I mean, you know, it's like you said, dude, it was kind of a catch-all, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, he definitely like had some mental health issues. I mean, he was, you know, he started all those fires when he was a kid. Yeah. He was, you know, breaking in, doing, I mean, petty larceny, but still a crime.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. And he also, you know, he felt extremely, you know, isolated and detached from the world around him. And, right. You know, and now that you brought it up, you know, he became an arsonist and literally set, like, literally hundreds of fires in New York City and was never arrested for any of them. I mean, according to him,
that, sounds like.
Well, according to his diary, man, like, this dude set fucking successful. 1,500 fires.
That's a fucking lot.
In the mid-70s.
That's I'd say that's quite a bit. But then, of course, that's like trash can fires, dumpster fires. That's not like
you imagine
I'm setting somebody's house on fire.
Yeah, can you imagine the look on Smokey the Bear's face when he found out how many fires that guy had started?
Dude, he had a stroke.
Yeah, he did.
His hair started falling out.
Yeah, he was a fucking wreck.
Yeah, he just didn't give a fuck because it was in his city and just wasn't in his forest.
Yeah, we all know Smokey only cares about the forest.
Where does a bear live, I guess?
He's like, you want to burn that shithole down? Go ahead.
Yeah.
You'd be doing the world a favor.
Yeah. Him or the
Come over here and you have one.
Same place.
You set one bush on fire. I will.
Yeah.
I will slit all
of
your throats.
I will maul you.
I will maul you to death.
I will take this tie off. This fucking Mountie hat.
Yeah, I was gonna say, don't make me take this Mountie hat off.
Oh, well, Yogi had the tie. Yeah, I keep my bears, my fictional bears. Good thing you fly a plane and shit too. Like he was like some sort of like cargo pilot. That was Baloo.
Yeah, that was Baloo. Yeah. See, get your fictional bears in order.
Yeah, he hit up pretty much every last one of them.
Yeah. But I mean, you know. Supposedly, this is right around when he began hearing the voices of the demons that were relentlessly tormenting him and commanding him to murder people. So this is where he starts establishing his alibi or his cause.
I wonder how, like, we had a previous guest on the show, Steve Paul.
Yeah.
He's part of the Empire State Paranormal Society. I believe I'm saying that right.
Yeah, you are.
Who's being a demonologist. I wonder what he thinks about that.
Yeah.
Because don't they believe that that kind of shit can happen?
Yeah, yeah, 100%. Demonologists believe that shit's like for real deal.
Right.
Like you can.
So maybe it was.
But see, actually, dude, do you know, like, the church itself will have, like, if you call up the, like, your pastor, your the father, whatever, and you say, hey, I think I'm having like a demon possession, you have to like go see a psychiatrist.
Yeah.
The whole nine. Because they're trying to.
There's a whole process.
The actual, like, the organization of the church, especially I believe it was Christianity, is they're trying to get away from, like,
the everybody's devil made me do it.
Possessed. Because they like realize that some of this is actually like in your head.
Yeah. Mental health issues or
so they're trying to like move away from, like,
that's what they should do.
Their archaic kind of
vet it out before you traumatize somebody with this.
Yeah. Because it's actually like doers. There's people who will do it on purpose, like they know what a possession is supposed to be.
Yeah.
And they'll do it to, like, some sort of gratify their needs.
Was this around the time that, like, The Exorcist came out?
Yep. Dude, like this was probably the precursor, you know, to the whole Satanic Panic.
Yeah, I do know about Satanic Panic.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, what I'm saying? Like,
I think that was even later, though. Wasn't it in the 80s?
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, that was like early, mid-80s. You know what I mean? But maybe this was kind of like, you know, the whole, you know, the devil made me do it thing kind of got
No, going. Well, I mean, I just looked it up. I mean, Exorcist, 1973, right in the fucking ballpark.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, this, though, I believe so, like, it's more, it's less of
was
a.
Like a, it was kind of a, like a kind pop of big culture at thing at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I think this is less of like some sort of possession thing and just more he batshit crazy.
For sure.
Depends on your view of things, I guess. I don't think the demonologist would agree with you.
Well, let's just give him a call real quick. We'll see what
I think
he's
he
up
would
to.
Disrespectfully agree with you.
I mean, you can't always blame it on the devil, man. You know what I mean?
No. Some people just have mental health problems, man.
Yeah, I mean, just like paranoid schizophrenics, a catch-all phrase.
Yeah.
You know, the devil made me do it.
That's a catch-all phrase.
Yeah, fucking, you know, let me just cover all my bases, bro. The devil made me do it. Oh, okay. My bad. Our bad.
Try that on your next speeding ticket.
Yeah.
Sir, do you know why I pulled you over? Satan. What? I assume demons had something to do with it. They're behind everything.
I was hitting the brakes. The demons were pushing the car faster. I don't
know. Yeah. It wasn't my fault, officer.
What? The fuck is happening?
Why are you wearing that crucifix?
I don't know. I think maybe certain parts of the country you might get away with that. Bible Belt. You might get away
with it. You have to be pretty deep in the woods of the Bible Belt. To believe
I'm going
to
say, if you're probably pretty deep in the Bible Belt, that might actually work.
No.
No, it ain't going to work. Of course not. It ain't going to work.
It's not going to work.
That's ridiculous.
Unless your fucking head spins around 360 degrees and you vomit green shit all over your dashboard.
Yeah.
Nobody's buying it.
You start fucking levitating out of nowhere.
You start talking like the cop's mother's voice. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Creepy shit like that.
Yeah, like they did in The Exorcist.
Yeah.
Then you might want to be like, yo, yeah, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and just cut you loose on this one. Just slow it down.
Yeah. I wonder, like,
actually, you know what? Speed it up as far. Get away from me as fast as
you know what? Possible. Do whatever the fuck you want to do.
You know, I think, like, the funnier part of that is like, I think if you were to ask, like, a long-term, like, state trooper or something, if he's ever heard something like that, I guarantee the answer is yes.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. No way he hasn't heard something like
I'm
that.
Sure somebody out one somewhere or somewhere out there.
Satan took the wheel.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
I mean, they got no problem saying Jesus take the wheel.
Yeah, but I think that's more of like,
that's
like a phrase. Not like a reason to like get out of like traffic tickets.
It's like, yo, Jesus wanted me fucking speed. I was late for my confirmation.
Yeah. Well, sir.
Well, I mean, that's when the voices of the demons, you know, they relentlessly, mm-hmm. and you know, it was just relentless and relentless.
Yeah, he kept hearing him and hearing him and hearing him, and telling him to
just
do
basically to shut him up. You know, and they were commanding him to murder people, man, and to shut him up. You know, he was just like, "Well, fuck, I got to do what I got to do."
Right.
Well, on Christmas Eve in 75, the commands would almost be fulfilled.
Right.
For the very first time, because he stabbed two women with the hunting knife.
Ooh.
One woman, Michelle Foreman, survived the attack, however, and the second woman would never be officially identified, but I believe she also survived.
Right.
Yeah, they both survived. And it was a weird thing, too, is like he came up behind him, like stabbed one in the back, and she just like looked at him and then ran away. Like, didn't follow
reaction.
Fucking poof, took off.
That's a really weird reaction to getting shanked.
Yeah, I was like, excuse I don't know about me? That. I think I might have fell.
Yeah.
It more like an irritation. Just got like bit by a mosquito. God damn.
It's kind of like in the movies, dude, where they look down and like, did you just fucking stab me?
Like, yeah, it's like disbelief.
This is the toughest woman in New York.
Yeah.
And you're trying to stab her.
Yeah.
She just looked at her.
This is the Arnold Schwarzenegger of women, right?
Yeah, she just looked at him and bounced.
Fucking Terminator.
The T-1000.
He's like, damn, that bitch must be from the Bronx.
She didn't want to blow her cover as a human.
Yeah.
So she took off.
What they don't say is that wasn't even their first time that night being stabbed.
Yeah.
Well, if she would have ripped out his skeleton and ran out of his body, it would have been a dead giveaway that she was a robot from the future.
But I mean, honestly, dude, you know, I mean, if that was his first thing, you know,
well, that's
it kind of made sense that he jumped to a gun because he's like, yeah, I scared these chicks, and they just fucking look at me.
It didn't work, and it's too much. It's like a lot of it's effort for one.
Oh my god,
and he's him trying personally. To be in and out, you know what I mean? Yeah. Kind of like blitz attack and then leave.
Yeah. Plus, it's a little too personal to stab somebody.
Well, yeah, because you actually feel that blade going in and out.
Yeah. Guns a little more.
But, you know, it's like what Tim just said, man. You know? Yeah, I mean, unless you walk up and, you know, basically cut their throat from behind, that's a tough and long way to kill somebody when you're trying to not be seen.
Mm.
Yeah, especially, I mean, he's just trying to, like, quiet the voices.
Yeah.
I don't know, though. I mean, I guess if you, like, sneak up behind and slit their throat, isn't that what, like a lot of, like, Navy SEAL actors do, like in the movies, like they'll sneak up.
Yeah, but you don't like
they're all in black. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but you don't like insta die. Like you're sitting there, like
you're not yelling for help. I can tell you that.
No. Plus, they're doing it for God and country, man.
Well, I mean, what they do. Okay, let's separate movies from reality. As I said, in the movies, that's what they do.
Yes,
I didn't say that's what SEAL Team 6 is doing. I'm just saying that's what they do in the movies, for Christ's sakes.
But yes,
we
in the
break
movie,
that parallel
slit somebody's
reality and fiction. We're going down this sort of Sam.
Yes, in the movies, if you slit someone's throat, that's just them dead.
Yeah, they just.
But in reality, movies, if you bop somebody on the top of the head, they get knocked out for 38 minutes. Like you get to do all your hijinks, and then they wake up after you leave, all groggy. They didn't know what happened. They get like karate chop them like in the neck, and then just like and they pass out.
How many
hours?
He's like he's stabbing him, and at the same time, he's doing like a Benny Hill routine.
Yeah, it's like what the fuck is happening here?
He's just like,
you know what? You know what I did notice though, like a side thing though, is like I watch a lot of like MMA fight videos, and like now when I watch those and I watch like fight scenes in movies, I can't enjoy them because I'm like that would have knocked him out immediately.
Yeah.
That exact knee right to the face, you know what I mean, by a guy who's supposed to be a superhuman.
Well, dude, you know what's funny? He's like you can call like that even to like wrestling. You'd be like, dude, if they did that, they would kill somebody if they did that.
Yeah, but at least wrestling is like, you know, we're entertainment.
Yeah.
You know, they don't ever claim to be real.
Yeah, but imagine like if you're watching a movie and like Superman. Actually, you know what?
That's a terrible
Spider-Man
reference immediately.
Walks up and just punches the bad guy in the like the hawk in the face, and he just out he goes.
Yeah.
Yeah, like it wouldn't make for a good fight scene.
Like I can't watch like when the Hulk punches somebody and they don't just explode into like a million fucking pieces. Yeah. It's like a mist.
Yeah.
It's like it's the like, fucking Incredible Hulk.
Because that would be yeah. like
it's the Incredible Hulk. Rated. Yeah, that's the Incredible Hulk. You know what I mean? He's like 900 pounds of solid muscle and rage.
Like the
and science.
Like the Hulk, yeah. like the 2000s Hulk, where he kicks that dude into a tree.
Yeah. Well, the guy, like at least in the movie though, like the guy was like broken up real bad.
Yeah.
And the only way he got like put back is when they give him like the where he comes to the abomination. You know what I mean? Yeah. That kind of stuff. Like any other thing that he punches just turns into fucking dust. Yeah. Especially people.
Well, in the movies, he never really hits people.
Well, not like people. He hits he's like always the hitting monsters. Like
monsters. Yeah, monsters. But they're like crumbling.
Yeah, no, they just they fly 500 feet through a building. Like Dragon Ball Z. You know what I mean? Like that's what happens. I just want to see the Hulk when he punches somebody.
Yeah, like a regular
just,
human.
It's just a pink mist.
They turn into a different form. They're no longer a solid. Now they're a liquid or something like gas or something.
It's turned into a liquid. It's a puddle on the ground.
You know what I mean? He hit them so hard, he changed like the state of their matter. You know what I mean? That's what I want to see. That's more realistic.
Anyways. Moving on to 76, right?
Uh-huh.
Berkowitz moved into a suburb in Yonkers. It was a two-family home, like a duplex. Like
split.
Yeah, yeah, like that wall where the wall splits them.
Yeah, like a townhome, modern townhome kind of thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And where that's where
yeah, there's a lot
starting to get that Son of Sam thing going, is when he moves into Yonkers.
Right.
Because he starts to believe that the German Shepherd that was a pet of one of his neighbors was possessed by a demon. And that even other dogs in the area were also possessed and they were also giving him orders to kill.
Like pretty
young women. That's right. Kind of where that's why all the women in New York were terrified.
Why is it always with these guys, man? It's always pretty young women.
Because they're the ones that they've rejected, rejected them, or didn't give them attention, or maybe they didn't even have the courage to
kill
an
ugly chick. You know what I mean,
you're just doing people a favor at that point. But
that though,
I might be on that list. I don't know, maybe.
But yeah, one of the dogs in the suburb actually ended up getting shot. Which likely was Berkowitz.
Well, I mean, wasn't it the old man's dog that ended up getting shot?
No.
No. The shepherd's still alive. It's a different dog.
It was a different, like, neighborhood dog.
Okay. Yeah.
So, like, it's like any dog that he saw.
Pretty much.
Possessed by demons.
Yeah, man, at this point, he was and really...
Fucking Germans.
I don't even think it was a German Shepherd that he shot.
No, I don't think it was. It was probably like a Pomeranian or something. Yeah. I didn't look into when I was researching it.
I can get why you'd want to shoot that fucking thing.
Yeah. It's like one of those toy dogs.
Yeah.
But he also started to believe that even his neighbors were possessed by demons.
All right.
So everybody around him is a demon.
Hmm.
Every animal around him is a demon. This dude's really...
So he like never once thought that maybe he was in hell.
Yeah, right. Not once. Not once,
dude. Could you imagine? Because
he was like we said earlier, he was. This was like a self-imposed like exile from society.
Because
he started to believe he was, you know, like
I mean, as far as isolating himself.
Yeah,
yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, I guess if you think
then these demons come into play, which goes straight into a psychosis. Into this is why he's alone,
right? Because
the demons isolated him from the rest of society,
right?
Dude, how ratcheted up is your fucking paranoia? You know what I mean? At that point, when you think that every fucking dog, every person, every time, you know, everything around waiting around the corner for you is a demon.
That's why
that level of paranoia has to be like astronomical.
That's why I am a cat guy. You can always trust a cat.
Oh, yeah.
They tell it to you straight.
Yeah.
We don't give a fuck
when they're
about
talking
you.
To you.
They I mean, never
when my cat's
anything,
talking to me.
It's tough love and it's hard truths.
Yeah. My cat can't be bothered to talk to me. You're lucky your dog fucking talks to you, even if it is a demon.
At least you got a friend.
Yeah, at least you got somebody to talk to.
Yeah, you have somebody who wants to talk to you.
Mm-hmm.
You're just a bad influence. Who hasn't had one of them?
Yo, you know, dude, it kind of reminds you a lot of that. What the fuck was that movie?
Yeah, like, the only people that want to talk to me is when I'm at work, and all they want to do is yell at me.
Yeah.
You talk about the Ryan Reynolds movie where
the Ryan
dog
Reynolds
and cat are talking to him?
Voices.
Yeah, telling him to fucking put heads in his fridge.
No, it was the cat telling him to kill, and I think it was the dog trying to tell him
not to. Yeah.
Not to kill.
Yeah, the dog was a good guy in that one.
Yeah, this kind of sounds a lot like that, but just in reverse, I guess.
And not in any way funny.
Yeah.
That's why I didn't like that movie, because the way they portrayed the cat.
Yeah.
And the dog is always the big doofy one. Don't do it. Don't do it.
Yeah.
Cats are just pure fucking evil, man.
Like, did the cat have like a Spanish accent too?
Yeah, I think it did.
Honestly, I don't remember.
It was something like or French or something. It was like really weird.
It was like some crazy shit like that.
But you know, this is when
I just always imagined like if a cat could talk, it would be like with like a British accent.
For sure, 100%, dude.
Yeah,
just
like real proper.
Yeah, just proper and ignorant and like
with a slight hint of passive aggressiveness.
Yeah,
but and nothing like, too bad that you can't handle.
Yeah, and he talks to you with like just like you said, like a little hint of like degradation every time he talks to you.
Yeah.
This. This is when David, I'm going to get back on track here.
Yeah.
But this is when David, he moved yet again to his last residence.
Mm-hmm.
Still in Yonkers, but he just moved to a different apartment.
Right. To get away from the demons.
Yeah.
Or,
fortunately, for people in New York, there were dogs in this area too.
Yeah. I imagine anywhere you move, there's probably going to be some dogs.
Yeah, I would think.
Around.
Yeah,
they're pretty popular.
Yeah.
And I actually misspoke earlier. This is when the Son of Sam thing comes into play.
Okay.
Not his first apartment, the second one.
Right.
That's okay. Because one of his neighbors was a man named Sam Carr.
Hmm.
Okay.
And his black Labrador retriever by the name of Harvey.
Hmm.
Good old Harvey.
Yeah, I forgot he moved the second time.
Mm-hmm.
Even poor Harvey, like you just said, he was infested with demons. He didn't have one. He had several.
Well, you
got to go to the vet and you got to get that pill you give him every once every 3 months to get demons out of him.
Catch demons at the dog park or something?
It keeps
like,
demons out. It kills fleas.
Demon
and
be
ticks.
Gone, man. Yeah.
and it's a heartworm medicine.
Yeah.
All wrapped
guaranteed
in one.
For your dog not to need an exorcism.
Yeah, this is.
Can you imagine a dog exorcism? That would be hilarious. What is happening?
Whatever kind of infestation your dog has, this
we'll
pill
take care
rid
of it.
Yep. Everything from fleas and ticks to demons and fucking
Satan himself. Like, I could just see somebody be like, the power of Christ compels you. And they're like slapping the dog with fucking holy water.
And the dog's like, just sitting there. Dog's trying to bite the water.
He's biting at it like he does with like if it's like a hose or something.
He's sitting there tail wagging.
Yeah. Because he is a dog, in fact.
But he would refer to like to Sam as a powerful demon himself.
Mm.
And it was even believed that like Burke, like and that's where he got the name Son of Sam from.
So you're saying that
from Sam Carr.
He was saying Sam Carr was himself a demon.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this is where he gets, his name he tells the press eventually.
Because Sam is the demon telling him and the dog, Harvey, are the ones telling him to go kill people.
Yeah, it was like
so he's like a disciple.
Sam
like
was
Sam.
Like the head demon, and Harvey was like
the messenger.
Yeah,
the lesser demon. Yeah, he's kind of like a go-to boy,
mm-hmm. Like a middleman.
Yeah,
pretty much
deliver my message.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so, I mean, this dude is
reverse fetch.
But right here, dude, like honestly, this dude's got so much going on with him. And we haven't even really touched on his killings yet.
No, we'll get into that on the next episode.
Yep.
Because it's,
it's fucking brutal.
And then, like, the wave of terror he spread throughout the city of New York. Like, one of the biggest cities in the world.
terrified. Yeah.
Every single person.
Yeah.
Absolutely petrified.
Because it could be anybody, really, at that point. It could be literally anybody.
Well, yeah, at this point, they still don't know who it is.
Out of like 8 to 9 million people, it could be anyone.
Yeah.
And this is before...
When zero clues, with zero leads.
And so far, what we've only talked about is the two stabbings he's done.
Yeah, we haven't got to where he actually killed anybody. We haven't even gotten
into where
the whole real, real depths of the Son of Sam.
Those are two of the seven that he injured.
Yeah. And, you know, they're assumably still alive.
Well, I mean, honestly, dude, I can honestly say... The
like
only
50
one
years
ever,
ago now, man. I mean,
like, the only one I've ever heard... That paralyzed a city like this would maybe be Ramirez.
Yeah, L.A.
That had like an entire population just
dude. L.A. had
scared
it
to death. To
well, I think Zodiac did that.
Yeah,
that
Zodiac.
Was San Francisco too. Because
I think, there was like
Sacramento area. I think
L.A. was even worse than New York during this time.
Yeah.
They had several serial killers moving around in the 70s.
Well, it's where you go, where you want to be, what you want to be, man. What you always dreamed of.
Yeah.
You go to L.A. and Hollywood, and you can make it happen.
Making dreams happen. Exactly. Yeah,
where dreams happen.
Where dreams come true.
Yeah. So if you get rejected enough, you could still get famous.
Yeah, yeah, just not the way you thought you were going to get
famous. You just ain't going to live the lap of luxury like you think you're going to.
Yeah. You'll be more of like an off-Broadway serial killer.
You see like a B-rate.
Yeah, you know, I was literally thinking B-rate. Like,
yeah, you know. You're like not up there with Manson and, you know, but...
Like a low budget.
It's like hard to top the king.
Like indie serial killer.
Yeah. Where you show off at like the Sundance.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like you're real big in the Sundance, but you know, Hollywood rejects you.
Well, I think that's the thing with like Manson. He had a Sundance that he did. He performed for people.
Yeah. Literally.
All right, guys. Well, that's part one of Son of Sam. And next week, it's gonna get a little brutal. It's gonna get a little brutal, but we'll do our best to just ruin it somehow. Like we did with this one.
Yeah, we usually manage to do it somehow, all of them.
Yeah, we'll be very inappropriate.
By the way, we have been putting up...
It's our thing.
We have gotten a lot of our backlogged videos up on YouTube recently, too.
Yeah,
how many, like 3 or 4 or 5?
Definitely.
Yeah, we're only probably about 2 behind now. Yeah, so, probably
we were lagging.
4 or 5 of them.
Yeah, we were pretty behind.
You know, because our production team's on point.
Yeah.
Anyway, glossing right over that.
Yeah.
Follow us on Instagram. Follow us on Facebook at Game Ray Podcast. Go check out the YouTube channel. There's a bunch of new videos up there. One dude hit us with some legit knowledge on flat Earth.
Yes, he did.
It's very long.
I haven't had a chance to read it yet.
Yeah, I got to check it.
Any site sources. So if you're listening to the show, well done. I will read it and I will watch it.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I'm definitely checking it out.
But I'm going to at least check it out. I'm going to do my due diligence on it.
Yeah,
so 100. Thanks for commenting.
Yeah,
100%. Thanks for taking the time to listen and comment on it.
Yeah,
so,
give us your thoughts.
Yeah, for sure. We want to hear it.
Yeah, agree or disagree.
I will argue with you.
Yeah, and we got.
I mean, hell, dude. If I say something wrong, matter. You call me out on it. I will, like, address that in one of the episodes. Okay. Like, hey, by the way,
in his therapy session. That's where he's going to address it.
No, I'll do that like the end of an episode or something like that. If one of my facts is wrong, I'll admit to it.
All right, guys. And, you know, as always, thanks for joining us. We love you. And we'll catch you next week.
See y'all later.
Everybody have a good night.
Bye.